You are listening to The Real Shia Beliefs, a collaboration between Thacker Lane and Al Hujah Islamic Seminary. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider becoming our patron by donating at thackerlane.org/support.
Upon the martyrdom of Al-Imam Al-Askari, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah, officially became the leader and God's successor on earth. Now, one of the predicaments that Al-Imam Al-Mahdi had to go through was his own uncle, Ja'far, his own uncle, the brother of Al-Imam Al-Askari. Ja'far was a person who did not fear Allah. He was not sincere. And he wanted the imamah to himself. So basically, when Al-Imam Al-Askari passed away, and he did not have a clear representative or child in the eyes of the government, Ja'far, the uncle of Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, the brother of Al-Imam Al-Askari, he took 20,000 dinars, golden coins, to the caliph in Samarra, to the khalifa, and he told him, I'll give you 20,000 dinars, declare me as the Imam of the Shia, the position that my brother Al-Hasan Al-Askari had. La ilaha illallah. See how sometimes the shaitan plays with the minds of people, even though they are the sons of Imams. Just like Nuh and his son. Just like the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Lahab, the Quran condemns him. The Ahlul Bayt had similar experiences that the Prophet had. The Prophet, he suffered because of his uncle Abu Lahab. He would mobilize the pagans against him. And Imam Al-Mahdi also was put into hardship because of his uncle Ja'far. He claimed the imamah to himself. So he gave him 20,000 golden coins. He told him, appoint me as the imam. You know what the Abbasid caliph and his ministers told him? It seems the caliph had more awareness than Ja'far. Allahu Akbar. The caliph told him, look, I did not appoint your brother Al-Askari to be the imam. It's God who appointed him. And in fact, I tried many, many times using all the might and power and money that I had to take away the imam from him, and I couldn't. So it's not a position that I gave to your brother for me to want to give it to you. If the Shia recognize you as their imam, there's nothing that I can do. I fought your brother and they still believed in him. And if the Shia don't recognize you as the imam, I can't do anything for you. Even if I go and declare it, nobody's going to listen to me. So he basically told him, this is not something that I can have influence over. Now what happened is he continued to claim that he's the imam. And he was collecting, you know, the khums and zakat money on behalf of the imam of the Shia, because he claimed that I am the imam. One day a delegation comes from Qum. Qum at the time was a city or a big village that was populated mainly by the followers of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. And they had great top scholars from Al-Ash'ari family and other families. So they sent a delegation, go to Samarra and give our money to the next imam. There must be a next imam after Al-Askari. Give that money to him. So when they arrived Samarra, it was confirmed to them that Al-Imam Al-Askari has been martyred. So they were looking for the next imam. One of the friends of Ja'far, the uncle of Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, came to them and told them, I'll take you to the imam of your time. So he took them to Ja'far. Ja'far said, who are you? They told him, we're a delegation from Qum. We used to bring money to your brother Al-Askari. And now we've brought money. By the way, when they were looking for Ja'far, they were told that he's by the banks of the river dancing and playing. When they heard that, they were kind of confused. The first time, you know, somebody who claims to be an imam is dancing and playing. That never happened with the Ahlul Bayt. So they kind of had doubts about this guy. But they're like, we don't know. Maybe there were special circumstances. Let's just go and figure this out. So they tell him, we're a delegation from Qum. We used to bring money and amanat to your brother Al-Askari. And now, the minute he heard the word money, he's like, give it to me. I want the money. I'm the imam of your time. They told him, okay, But show us proof and evidence. He's like, what kind of evidence do you want me to show? They told him, when we would bring the money to your brother Al-Askari, he would tell us exactly what we had in our belongings and how much money we had. The exact amount. Let's say 5,000 dinars and 50 dirhams. He would tell us the exact amount. Okay, tell us, how much money do we have? He told them, this is blasphemy. I don't have ilm al-ghayb, the knowledge of the unseen. Only God has ilm al-ghayb. They told him, sorry, you have to prove it to us. We're not going to give you the money. We have come on behalf of the city of Qom. We're entrusted. It's not our money. They told us to give us the imam who can prove through a miracle that he's the imam. Al-Askari used to do that every time we would come. So do it if you're really the imam. He got frustrated. He went to the caliph. He went to the Khalifa, the Abbasid Khalifa. He told them, look at these crazy people. They expect me to have this ilm al-ghayb. I don't have this ilm al-ghayb. And neither did my brother Hassan al-Askari had this ilm al-ghayb. So the Khalifa summons them. He tells them, give them the money. Give him the money. He's your imam. They say, no, we don't recognize him as our imam. If he is, let him tell us. We have a tradition in which al-imam al-Askari used to tell us. And this is not our money. It's not, if it was our money, we'd give it. It's not our money. We're entrusted, so we can't. In that case, the Khalifa told Ja'far, I can't do anything. They have a point over here. So they tell the Khalifa, let us just go back. We won't give our money to anyone. Let us go back safely to Qom. We'll return the money to its people. He said, okay, go back safely. On their way back, as soon as they leave the castle of the Caliph and they're on their way back to Qom, a young boy comes to them. He tells them, your master is waiting for you in this location. And he mentions all of them by name. They tell him, you are the imam. He says, no, I am the slave of your imam. The imam is waiting for you. The imam of your time is waiting for you. He takes them to a place where Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah, was in, a secret place, because he was away from the eyes of the government. Once they meet Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, before they ask him about the sign to demonstrate that he's the Imam, he tells them, you aren't so-and-so, you came from Qom, you're carrying that much money in your sack, and you're carrying that much money, and you're carrying that much money. They said, when we heard that from him, we fell into sujood. And we thanked Allah that he did not leave us on this earth without our Imam. And that this is the true Imam. Then Al-Imam Al-Mahdi told them, look, this is the last time you come to Samarra. The situation here is so unstable, you can't come anymore. From now on, I have representatives in Baghdad. Next time, bring the money to Baghdad and give it to my representatives. Because if you keep coming here to Samarra, the Khalifa will notice there's activity here. It's going to be bad for you. You'll be captured and imprisoned and killed. Don't come to Samarra anymore. Next time, you go to Baghdad. And that's exactly what happened.